This is going to be a fun morning. I am so thrilled to be able to share this message with you. Last week, we had a little diversion in our service, and it was a great time in the Lord, right? Amen? Come on, come on. Amen. It was a good time in the Lord. So I asked a couple of questions, and I'm gonna feed off of them and bounce off these questions from last week, and we'll get into today's message that I believe the Lord wants us to all hear today. I asked the question: do you want God to use you? And just in case you don't realize this at the Salt Mine, how we do church, this isn't a spectator sport. This is interactive. When I ask you a question, I really do expect an answer. Do you want God to use you?
Yes.
Okay, that's the right answer. But if you want to say no, that's okay. You can say no. Do you want God to use you?
Yes.
Okay, good. All yeses. So then we state it together. God use me. God use me. All right, awesome. And I talked to you, and I really need to just rehash this for a second, because I think it's indicative of what God wants us to hear this morning. Robin and I have been stretching our bodies, our backs and our legs and our shoulders and stuff. And as we're stretching our body parts out for this one particular reason, so listen to me on this, and catch up with me from last week, is what stretching of my back does, it actually releases the tension that's kind of tightening it up. And Mark and I, we laugh at each other lovingly. We laugh with each other, because we're both at this state in our lives where we need to be stretched out to just like function. And because when everything gets tightened up, I don't know about some of you guys, I know the younger crowd in here doesn't get it yet, but you will. Trust me. I didn't think I would ever see it ever in my days either, when I was, you know, in my 20s and 30s, and thought, oh, all the older generation would tell me, oh, you better watch yourself, take care of yourself, be careful, don't do that, don't jump off that, don't do that, don't lift that, you're going to feel it. And I'm like, ah, whatever, they don't know what they're talking about. I think they knew what they were talking about. So I have to do this thing, I have to stretch, and I stretch out these parts of my body that are tight, what it does is it frees them to be of use. And the phrase that the Lord gave me is this, and I need to understand it and hear it like this, is for me to be at optimum use, for God to use me right where He wants me at this particular time in my life. So when I say that very particularly correctly, because I'm not pretending to be 20 years old, okay? You understand that? I'm not pretending, I'm not thinking I'm going to go back to 20 years old. But I do want to be used at the optimum place now in my life, almost 50. I want to be used still by God. I want God to use me at the age of 50. Hello? Okay, do you want God to use you at the age wherever you're at? You don't have to say your age, but do you want God to use you where you're at? So you got to be realistic about where you're at also. Hello, you guys following with me?
Yes.
I know. You guys good? All right, good. Good. So here's then is the question that goes a little bit deeper that I'd like you to ponder is this. And this gets a, you said you wanted God to use you. But here, do you want all of God to use all of you? Just think about it before you say yes. No, really, I'm seriously, think about it and ponder it. In fact, don't even respond to it. I just told you, respond to my questions, but don't respond to that one yet until the end of the message, okay? Do you want all of God to use all of you? I said, man, you guys really don't pay attention. That's okay. He's already in. He doesn't even know what he's in for, but he's in. Was that you, Johnny? Yeah. Figures, yeah. And I don't know if you guys noticed or not, but my brother Johnny up there, brother in the Lord, even though he, yeah. Anyway, there's some side stories to that, so we're still not sure if we're actually like related or not, but.
It's a long story.
Exactly. You have to. Yeah. Well, anyway, I'll move on. I don't know if you guys noticed that, but as he was leading us in that song, it's like he's got this really neat trick that I didn't know was possible to be able to like sing as awesome as he sung without barely moving his lips like that. Like, wow, that I'm wondering what would happen if he actually released his lips to sing. It's like, whoa, we got our superstar in our hands, man. Good job, brother. That was awesome. Thank you for being obedient to the Lord in that. Do you want all of God to use all of you? So here's what we got to ponder then. Here's what we got to dissect for a second is, who is all of God? I'm going to deal with that for a moment today, and then next week we're going to deal with a whole other issue, all of you. So all of God, let's look at that. Is God supernatural? Absolutely. I'm going to go into a passage of Scripture. I think I told you last week that I have a passage of Scripture that I've discovered that God has revealed to me as extremely dynamic. And it's not that I've discovered it, because it's like I just actually happened to like run across it in a way that, and every time I've read this passage of Scripture, and I've read it I think at least 25 times over the last couple of weeks, every single time the Holy Spirit really pricks me. And he doesn't leave me alone in it. So I don't know what's going to happen this morning. I have a pretty good idea what's going to happen, but I believe that God is going to move in my heart and my spirit as he's going to move in yours as we read this passage of Scripture. It's in Exodus chapter 4. Exodus chapter 4, just starting right in verse 1. Right in verse 1. This is after God had revealed himself to Moses via the burning bush, had a conversation with Moses about what God wanted him to do. And so then as he comes to this other place of a conversation with Moses, Moses answered God in verse 1 and said, "But suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose they say, 'The Lord has not appeared to you.'" You see, what God was actually calling Moses to do, if you recall, he was directing Moses to set his people free. See, God's people had been in captivity for 400 years. And God had heard their cry. And when you read back in like chapter 3 and you read back, it says that he's heard the cry and how unfair and how unjust the taskmasters were against God's people. And so God's ears were attentive to God's people's cries for redemption, for saving. They wanted out. And so God says, "I got a guy that's going to do it, and his name's Moses." So God raised up Moses and called Moses to be the rescuer of God's people. And so Moses is having this conversation. He says, "Suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose they say, 'The Lord has not appeared to you.'" So the Lord said to him, "What is that in your hand?" And he said, "A rod." Happen to have a rod. A shepherd's staff, some of your translations may say. I think I've even read some of the translations say a stick, a rod, a shepherd's staff. "What is that in your hand?" God asks him. He says, "Well, it's a staff, a stick, a rod." And God says, "Well, throw it on the ground. Throw it on the ground." So Moses takes his staff, throws it on the ground. Here's what's awesome about what happens next. I need you guys to understand this. I like Moses a lot because I can relate to Moses here. Because as he threw that staff, he didn't know what God was going to do. He didn't know what was going to happen next. He just obeyed the voice of God. So God said, throw it on the ground. So he threw it on the ground, and it turned into a serpent, a snake. And Moses did something that I think all of us would have done, and he ran away. I mean, I like the translation. I think in the Living Bible, it says he jumped back. It's like, whoa, what the heck just happened there? He jumped back and was afraid of the snake. Has anybody ever run across a snake? Okay, let me ask you another question, another way. Have you ever run across a snake when you were just minding your own business and all of a sudden there was the snake right at your feet? Okay, now let me ask you another way. Have you ever run across a rattlesnake that was right there at your feet when you were minding your own business? Have any of you ever done that? Now, I've heard these stories that you are supposed to, you know, be still. Be still, right? If you're still, the snake will just mind its own business and wander away. That's what they tell you. If you watch, you know, all the, like, you know, survival shows, that's what they tell you to do. Here's the problem. Here's the problem. I one day I went golfing.
Still was practicing to be dead. That's not
going to work. Well, unless you're like Moses or like me, like this, is I was actually golfing one time in a golf course that had a lot of wooded areas, 12 bridges out there, and I hit a ball straight down the fairway, but instead it went to the left and off the fairway. I don't know how that happened, but it just happened. And so my ball went off into the thickets and the brush and stuff, so I'm thinking, wandering around looking for my ball, and there's like, oh, there's my ball. Boop, doo, doo. All of a sudden, I'm like, what? And I had a hat on. I had a golf club on. I think I even had a shirt on at the time. And I ran and moved so fast, I lost everything. Everything. And you know what? That snake could have my ball. He could have my hat. He could have my club. That snake had everything. That's why when I look at what Moses did, that's exactly how all of us will respond. I mean, I know if you're prepared to come up on a snake, you can, okay, now I can think about it, I can process it, I can say, okay, this snake is, if I they tell me if I be still, I could deal with this snake and the snake will just mind its own business and leave me alone. But if you're not prepared for what a snake can do, and that snake is in your presence instantly like that, you'll instantly react like Moses reacted. That's why I like Moses' reaction, because I think it's genuine, it's authentic, and it's how all of us would have reacted. When God actually calls us to do something, and he tells us to do something, sometimes the chain reaction of that reaction to me saying yes to it can cause us to, now we have to react in another way. You understand what I'm saying? So track me with me on this, because it's really awesome as we go through this. Here's what I want us to process for a moment. Because then he said this, and this is even like a little more crazy. God will actually take us to another place in our relationship with him and our trust of him. And he throws the stick on the ground, and it turns into a snake. And then God says, okay, now see that snake on the ground? As he got Moses' attention back, because, you know, it brought him back to where he took off. Remember, he took off. He's like, I'm out of here. He ran away from it. So Moses said, hey, come back here, son. Come back here, Moses. I got, see that snake? Pick it up by the tail. Pick it up by the tail? Are you kidding me? Now I know, I've seen enough shows and to know that if you grab a snake by the tail, what's going to happen? It's got a head on the other end that has teeth in it. And if the tail, if I drag this thing up by the tail, that head can move any which direction it wants. Do you hear what I'm saying here? This was not a safe practice. What was God thinking? What was God thinking? He was challenging Moses to trust him. To trust him. But also to do this very thing, because this is what's awesome about what he does. As he picks it up by the tail, it turns back into a stick. Turns back into the stick. And then the Lord, he says, now take out your hand, and he sticks out his hand, and it turns leprous, and put it in your coat, take it back out again, it's clean. Oh, now Now stick it back in your coat, and it'll turn leprous again. And he does this neat little trick with his hand. Clean leprous. And he says, those are a couple of things. They're signs that you have in your back pocket, if you will. They're signs that I am giving to you so that the people will believe you. But do you think this? I'm going to ask you this question, and I think this is where a lot of us get stuck. Was Moses' issue really with the people? Believing or not believing him? Was that the issue of Moses' heart? I don't believe so. The Moses' issue of his heart was how he perceived God's ability to do what God said he was going to do. And his issue was within himself. Because we hear this, we also hear this very thing that happens right after this, is he has this conversation with God. You guys okay? All right. I try to deal with, there we go. We got it? Found it? Got it? Silenced, muted, shut it off? Not yet. I'm trying to be a little bit exciting to where you can, I know. Anyway, at least it wasn't the football game or something. That would have been like, oh dear. Here's what I want us to understand, because if we want God to use us, God is supernatural. So when we say, God, use me, God, use me, what we're asking God to do is we're asking all of God to use me. So when I'm asking God to use me, here's the thing I'm struggling with is my real struggle is who is God, and do I really believe and trust him that if I put myself out there, will God actually come through in using me? And here's also the big issue is, will I put myself in a place that I trust God to be God in my life? Because right now, in our day, and I don't think it's just our day, but right now, we've painted pictures of safe God. And we sang the song, and I love it. And I think we need to, and friend God. And those, God is our friend, and God is our safety. But do we trust God to be supernatural? That's a whole nother level of trust. Because supernatural is what? Is outside of this realm, outside of this world. It's something that I can't explain. It's something that I can't even put my finger on. I mean, a stick into a snake, that's crazy. And you think, that's wild. And you know, and of course, Moses, when he went to Pharaoh, he went in and he told Pharaoh, he said, hey, let my people go. And he said, I'm not going to do that. Why should I do that? And so Moses says, well, hey, I got a little trick up my sleeve. And he throws the stick on the ground and it turns into a snake again, because he knew it could happen. And then what did Pharaoh do? He just kind of laughed and said, oh, yeah, well, here, I got some tricksters, too. And they threw their staffs on the ground, and they turned into snakes. You guys remember that part of the story, right? And everybody, you know, I've heard different commentators say, well, you know, that wasn't really what happened. You know, they say that, you know, it was sleight of hand trickery, which very well was or could have been, to where they had snakes encased in some sort of plastic coating, that when they threw it on the plastic coating, broke, and so therefore the snakes were released, and so there's trickery and sleight of hand and stuff, and I'm like, well, whatever. But here's the biggest, I think even the more miraculous part of the whole thing is Moses' snake did what? It turned and ate up all the other snakes. That's pretty awesome. Now, for one snake to eat a whole lot of other snakes, I think it was a God thing. It was supernatural, right? And here's the bottom line, too, even with that. I love how all of the Bible always points to all of Jesus. Is Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess. He will devour all of his opposition. Amen? He has devoured it. He has defeated everything on the cross. And at that time when he comes and conquers, all is going to be subject to the reign and glory of Jesus the King. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And so we could always say it's like it's always pointing to Jesus. Everything in the Bible points to Jesus. Can I get a... Amen. All right. Very good. I know it wasn't very climactic in that. So let's go on. As I deal with this issue, I think it's so fun to just like really just contemplate this very thing is if I want God to use me, am I really at the place of saying all of God use all of me? God in his supernatural form and in God being supernatural, he will take opportunities, he uses opportunities to interject his character and his supernatural power into our lives. So for us to say, God, use me, we must also conclude that I'm saying God, all of who God is, I'm saying step in and use all of me. Giving God opportunities to be supernatural is really what he's asking us to do. Giving God opportunities to be God is what he's asking us to do. So when we declare that and when we say that, God, use me, we must come to the conclusion that we've got to say all of God, use me. That's, yes, the friend God. And it's fantastic to sit and have coffee with God and converse with God and share with God and listen to God and sit as God is your best friend and know that God is your friend and is with you. You have to know that. But you also have to come to the conclusion and know that God is not all that safe. He will require us and he will put us in situations to handle a stick that at any moment can turn into a snake. At any moment can turn into something that is deadly. You guys get that? Now, here's... Last week, I also dealt with this passage of Scripture, Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. And so I'm going to actually read it again at the New Living Translation because I think it's awesome in how it says it. In the New Living Translation, he says this in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. He says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you, give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind that he will find acceptable. For this is truly the way to worship him. And don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. And then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect." The two things that keep us from knowing God's will: unyielded areas of our life and conformity to unbiblical worldviews. That not only will they keep us from knowing God's will, they'll actually cloud up and they'll fog up God's will. Make it blurry, if you will. Our passions become distorted when we don't surrender, when we have unyielded areas of our life. And when we conform to the patterns, and I like that's why I like the way the New Living says it, it's the behaviors and customs of this world. And when we conform to those, our passions become distorted. Our direction becomes actually diverted off of what God's plan and what God's will is for your life. And we even become confused. And we'll start thinking that what I'm doing is what's good and right, and it has nothing to do with what God has for you. You guys understand this? You guys tracking with me? And we can see it. We can see it very easily in what's happening in our world today, right? Our world today is full of a whole lot of confused people, right? I sadly say I hear some of us Christians being just as confused about issues of life. And it's very simple to me. It's very simple. I believe it's very simply just stated here in Romans 12, 1 and 2, is that if we just simply yield ourselves, commit ourselves, surrender ourselves entirely to God, and stop conforming to the patterns and behaviors of this world, we'll have clear direction for what God's will is for our life. Hello? Amen. Amen and amen. And, you know, because here's what we do. An unyielded area, for example. You guys want me to get gritty? Okay, no, I'm asking you for permission. Can I get gritty with you? Okay, you know what that means, right? That means it's going to rub a little bit, and it might even hurt a little bit. It might take some skin off your flesh a little bit. But that's okay. But here's what we're going to do. We're going to get gritty. If you have an unyielded area in your life that deals with, let's say, your sex, your sexual desires, what will you do? If it's unyielded, in other words, I want this area for me. I've actually had people come to me and tell me that, well, the Bible doesn't really talk about us having to commit ourselves to just one person. I'm like, really? That's a new Bible I've never discovered yet. Maybe it's a different religion altogether. I don't know. But according to the Bible that I read, it says the marriage bed is holy. And not to be disrupted by unholiness. It talks about that in Hebrews. If we have that area, if we haven't yielded in that area, we will have a perverted passion and we'll actually come up with ideas and views that actually now I've conformed to a pattern of this world, because I know very well, you know, Robin and I have been married for almost 30 years. We're going on 30 years this January. And yeah, I know, it's awesome. Praise the Lord. She's awesome. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. But when we were dating back in the 80s, quit laughing at me, Lisa.
I'm there.
I know you're there, and I'm not going to point out that you were there, actually, with us. The pattern of the world at that time was, that was 30 years ago, you know, try the shoes on to make sure they fit, so to speak. I mean, that was the language all the time that I was just battered with, whether it was from my peers at school to the construction world, to the everywhere I went. It's like, you know, why would you buy the cow when you can get the milk for free? You know, everything. I've heard it all. I've heard them all. And you got to test it out to make sure it all works and everything. And I'm like, and the Lord kept us holy and just and right in that. But the pattern of the world was so opposite of that. And I could have so easily, but I love her. We love each other. We love each other so much, and we're planning on being with each other. No, do you guys hear what I'm saying? I asked your permission if I get gritty. You gave it to me. Was that a little too gritty? Okay. But it's true. It's true. And then I will have a clouded, perverted, foggy view of what God's will is for my life. Because if we had conceded to being and living by the pattern of that world, I would have absolutely 100% been, I would have been locked into having to marry her. I'm telling you, this is gritty. I asked. But because we kept ourselves pure, I chose to marry her, and I wanted to marry her. I didn't have to marry her. Do you understand that? And I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt, with everything and everything that beat in me, a very clear direction that that was God's will for my life and for our life. Hello? That was an easy one. That's an easy one to just like to say, yeah, that's easy. But it's so uneasy when we cloud it all up. You guys following with me? And so when we say, God, use me, we got to ask God, do I want all of God to use all of me? Hello? Amen. Amen. Let's go on. There's another thing I want to deal with because this is really fun. It gets even better. James 4:4. Always one of these easy verses to remember. I'll quote it. It says, you adulterers, don't you realize that friendship with the world makes you an enemy of God? And I say it again, if you want to be a friend of the world, you make yourself an enemy of God. Isn't that interesting when we hear the word you adulterous people? This is James that's quoting that, but Jesus said that phrase quite often also. You're an adulterous generation, looking for signs, looking for things, looking for other things other than just looking at me. Hello, I'm Jesus right in front of you, God, your Savior, and you're still looking for other things. When God refers to us as an adulterous, have an adulterous heart. Do you understand that? He's actually putting his finger on the very fact that I am Jesus and I'm all that you need right in front of you. Instead, you're looking over here for something else. Hello? Isn't that what adultery is? That's what adultery is. Boy, you guys, I'm getting hot too. Yeah, I need to move on to something easy and fun. Boy. Praise the Lord. This last passage of scripture I'm going to use, and I'm going to save the next one for next week. I love this, and I love this passage of scripture. It's in Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. Because this is what it comes down to, is all of God. God, use me. All of God, use me. And next week we'll deal with all of me. But I want us to see this, is all of God. In Luke chapter 4, starting in verse 16, I'm going to read a few verses all the way to verse 30. I'm going to highlight something that I think is interesting. I'm going to read it out of the New King James Version, and then there's a verse that's going to say it a little bit different in another translation, so I'll go back to it. So I'll take you there in just a second, but I'm going to read the story. It says, so he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as was his custom, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. This is Jesus. And as he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." And then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." So all bore witness to him and marveled at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And then they said, "Is this not Joseph's son?" And he said to them, "You will surely say this proverb to me, 'Physician, heal yourself. Whatever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in your country. Give us some signs.'" That's what they were saying. And then he said, "Assuredly, I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you truly, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up. And there were 3 years and 6 months, and there was a great famine throughout all of the land. But to none of them was Elijah sent, except Zarephath in the region of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow." In other words, she wasn't Jewish. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them were cleansed except Naaman the Syrian. And so all those in the synagogue, when they heard these things, they were filled with wrath. And they rose up and thrust him out of the city, and they led him to the brow of the hill on which their city was built, that they might throw him down over the cliff. This is Jesus. This isn't the crucifixion yet. This is just starting. And then, passing through the midst of them, he went away. Jesus is a ninja. I just realized that. That's cool. Isn't that awesome? I know. It's like, but I want us to see something very clear. And this is, I'm just going to ask us to be, this is a place that we have to be very open and very honest with ourselves. You see, here's what's happening in this room, the synagogue. Let me go back to the synagogue room there where Jesus comes in and he opens the scroll and he reads the scroll. Let's go there for a minute, if you can. If you got to paint a picture in your mind's eye, close your eyes, however you got to go there, let's go there. Because this was the period of time where God hadn't shown up, hadn't spoke to anybody, any of his people, anybody in the world that's recorded for almost 400 years. So God's presence was very foreign to the people at that time, right here at this time. And Jesus shows up and starts reading this scroll, starts reading this passage of scripture. And here's what's happening in the room. Here's what's happening in the synagogue room, is that the presence of God is starting to permeate, starting to fill this place. The presence of God is starting to get into people's craw, get into their hearts, and they're starting to feel something. They're starting to feel something that they have never, not only have they never felt, but they've never even heard their parents, their grandparents, their great-grandparents talk about. Because the presence of God had been so foreign to them for so long. And so here they're sensing something that's magnificent before them. And inexplainable. They don't know how to process it. There's nothing that they've ever learned that this is feeling like. You guys tracking with me? And it's very real to them. It is very real. There's a peace. There's even a joy. And here's what's even more awesome, is that they sense that there's an expectation. There's something very real happening here. Could this be the Messiah? Is it possible that in our hearing, in our day, in our time, that the Messiah has shown up? They're feeling this. You guys with me? They're feeling this. They're sensing it. They're hearing it. They're marveling at, and they're fixed on him. They're like, they can't get their eyes off of him. Right? You guys with me there? And then Jesus does something amazing, and he says, today it's been fulfilled. And he hands it back. Here's your book. Oh yeah, it's done deal. It's happening. It's happening. And now they were just blown away. Yes, it's happening. I thought that's what I was feeling. I thought that's what I was feeling. Do you think it's true? Hey, man, I thought I was crazy for a second, but I think it's actually true. Our Messiah has come. Our Messiah has come. And then, do you know what the first temptation was? It wasn't the fruit. The fruit of the forbidden tree of knowledge of good and evil. The first temptation was the serpent. Challenged what? Did God say? Did God say, don't eat of that tree? The enemy was right there. The enemy was right there using willing vessels to open their mouth and challenge what was really happening. And they said, what? Isn't this just Joseph's son? Isn't this just, I mean, we grew up with this kid. Isn't he just a carpenter's son? Isn't he just the kid around the corner? I remember seeing him running in the streets. He's just a guy. He's just a man. Oh, he's not our Savior. He's not our Messiah. So much so that now their perception of this Jesus, who a moment ago, a very moment ago, listen to me, this is, they were willing to say, hallelujah, yes, thank you, God, for bringing us our Messiah and our Savior. To, let's throw him out of here. Let's not just throw him out of here, let's throw him over the cliff for even dare him thinking that he had a supernatural ability to save us. And they became angry with them. And they turned on him. Do you see that? Here's what I'm asking us to really challenge us to come to a place of conclusion in our hearts. Is when we look at Jesus as Messiah, as Lord, we're looking at a supernatural God that has a supernatural ability to do anything in your life, supernaturally pull you out of anything. He is a, and I love this song, and man, if you guys weren't moved by it, he's a chain breaker. He is everything. I'm trying to think of all the things that song said. A way maker, a pain taker. I like it. That's so cute. A what? A prison saving, shaking Savior. Yeah, I was taken away at Johnny's voice. I couldn't remember the words. Oh, thank you. That's Jesus. Now, when we say God use me, all of God use me, it's Jesus. Jesus is a supernatural Savior who is fully man and fully God. And if you want to rationalize this thing called church, religion, and make it all safe, and you know, you go to church on a certain day, and then you do your thing all during the week, and you know, God's in my back pocket type of a thing. The thing is that's not all of God. All of God is all of God. He's supernatural. And yeah, we have to throw our stick down with the possibility of it turning into a snake. But here's what I'm going to ask you to do. And I love this about, is when I read the story of Moses, and God was very patient with Moses as he gave him excuses. I don't know if you guys remember the excuses that Moses now started giving God. Because then he started telling him, well, I can't talk very well. I can't talk, you know, I don't know how to, I'm not very eloquent. And there's probably a good chance after the stick turning into a snake, and then God saying, now pick up the stick, and I'm sure he was probably like, what? You know, maybe that's where his stutter started. I don't know, but very could have been. But he started making excuses. And God, even in his patience and his love and his direction and his will for God's people, he didn't let them stick. He didn't let them sit in his excuses. Say, well, all right, well, I'm going to use your brother. Isn't that your brother coming down the road there? I'll speak through him. Said, you're not off the hook. Because Moses actually said the words, use somebody else. He actually said those words to God. Can't you find somebody else? Isn't that funny? Yeah. So it comes down to this is when we're saying, yes, God, use me. When the rubber meets the road, when the stick's in our hand and God says, throw it down, it's got to be a stick. Here's the thing. This is funny. God showed me this and I was like, here's what we do. Here's what we have. We have a big stick. I throw this stick down and I trust God with it. It can turn into a big snake. A dangerous snake. Correct? Now, what if I want to just instead... Now, here's the thing. We have this great privilege of knowing that what Moses didn't know. That God has the capability of doing these things. So, you know, if I knew that this stick was going to turn into a snake, I might have said, well, here, God, let me get a different stick. And they go, oh, it's just a worm. That's all right. It's not scary. God, you're fine and safe. In fact, you're even very practical. You know, worms are good for, you know, making the soil nice and airy and dirty so that, you know, my plants can grow. God is so good. God is so sweet and kind and friendly. He is. Oh, but he's a little bit dangerous too, my friends. Oh, but maybe I want to graduate from a worm stick and use a stir stick. Oh, it's a baby snake. Isn't he cute? He's my little pet god, right? If this turned into a snake, it wouldn't be a good pet. No. You guys following with me? Here's what the challenge is trust God, all of God. Trust God and all of God to use all of you. And when we do that, and when we come to that place, my friends, I'm telling you, God is so good. And this is what I want us to hear. This is the last thing, I promise, and we're going to move on and go to worship. Here's where I'm asking us to be very honest. God knows where you're at. God knows right where you're at. And if you're honest with him, he will meet you there. But you have to be honest and open with him. If you're struggling with trusting him, just let him know. Lord, I believe, but I have unbelief. I'm not sure how that thing will work out. And here's the awesome thing about who God is. He's so patient and kind and loving, he'll meet you there. He'll meet you right where you're at. And not only will he meet you there, but he'll say, okay, now that you're trusting me to be a toothpick in your life, let's just keep going. Let's keep going. And eventually you'll graduate to a stir stick. But let's not stop there. Let's keep going. Until all of me is consuming all of you. That's awesome, because God loves us right where we're at, but he loves us enough to not leave us where we're at. And he's going to keep moving us and pushing us lovingly, even when it's hard and difficult. But wherever we hold on to stay and say, nope, I'm not going to let you have that area. Or, nope, I'm going to, I don't, you know, that whole Bible, I don't know about all the Bible. Is really all the Bible true? Come on, it can't be all true. Not all the Bible. I mean, there's things in the Bible that I just don't agree with. That's fine. You be honest about it. Be honest about it. But also bring it before God. Because if we're dishonest about it, then that's a place that he really has no place in. And I know that seems like, well, God's God. He can do whatever, whenever, however he wants. Absolutely. You're right about that. But he will not take places in your life that you don't give him. He will not take places in your life that you do not give him. I do know that about God. I know that about Scripture, and I know that about my life. wherever I've held on to places in my life, he says, okay, you can have it. You can have it. You can have your whole life. You can have it. Let me know when you're tired of making the mess that you're making in there, and I'll come in. Right? He loves us. Be honest with him. Give him all that you know to give him right now and right now today. Like I was telling, I said it last week, and I think it's so true, is I still can distinctly remember when I gave my life and surrendered to Jesus as Lord of my life. I did not know anything about what that was going to look like. I had no idea. And I didn't know all that it entailed, but I just knew to say yes to all of Jesus. All of me to say yes to all of Jesus. And I'm kind of glad that I didn't know all of it, because I might have said no to some areas. And that's being honest. I'm a man that struggles with pride in issues of life. And I'm a man that struggles with surrender, just like all the rest of us. But I've learned that every area that I yield is an area that he can heal and he can restore when I just give it to him, right? Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Let's pray together. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to worship the Lord, and let us pray. Father God, we just thank you for your love for us. Thank you that you meet us right where we're at. Thank you, Jesus, that you gave your life so that we can have life. Thank you, Jesus, that you are King of Kings. You are Lord of Lords. And that where we make you Lord of our life, you come in and you are the fixer. You're the redeemer of all things. So Lord, even this morning as I'm struggling to surrender areas of my life, and I know many in this room are struggling to just surrender areas in our life, I'm coming to you and asking you to help me in my unbelief. Help me in my surrender. Help me in those places that I think I need to hold on to and that are useless to hold on to. And instill within me a hope, a courage, a faith that only you can give. Lord, continue to do that work in me, transforming my mind to be like you. In Jesus' name, we give you all glory, honor, and praise. Amen.